Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Got a good show for you today. Some breaking news, Kelly, and this will make everyone, for good reason, want to tune in tomorrow. Jack Duggan, the old left-hander, is going to come on the show, and we're going to talk baseball tomorrow afternoon for a good long while.
Opening day right around the corner. We are now officially in the month of February.
Kelly was at the ballpark this morning, talked to some of the ball players. We've got some good interviews for you. We're going to be talking to Chandler Best a little later in the show. Chandler Best, Kelly, a kid that was out last year, had Tommy John surgery. They're really high. They think he can be a big asset.
And, man, they are, let me tell you, they are chomping at the
Yeah, give us
bit.
The vibe. Give us the vibe from the ballpark today.
Well, the first thing that I noticed is – the entire coaching staff was really laid back, at least this morning. Now, maybe it was just a good day, but I really think that maybe deep down inside they know they've got something pretty special here. Coach Ostrander was, you know, really laid back, especially laid back. But getting to talk to the players, they kind of like the fact that nobody's giving them any love, you know, in these national polls because They said they don't know what's going to hit them. You base it on what you have coming back. And he said, look, let's face it. You know, when you got Danny Lynch and Chris Sargent, some of these guys you got to replace, they just don't think that those guys are going to be replaceable. And I think the general rule of thumb for these guys is certainly no disrespect to their former teammates. But as Graham Crawford said last year, the guys that were on the shelf waiting, pretty doggone good. And I think they're giddy with anticipation getting to unveil this team, really.
So here's an important question. The last time, it was last year, I was at the baseball office and you came in and we went back to Scott's office and you immediately attacked the giant jar of M&M peanut M&Ms he had on his desk. Did Coach Oz have that on his desk?
Which, sadly, the first thing that I tried to lay my eyes on.
There wasn't any?
The M&Ms were gone. It was like stuff, like just awful stuff, like sliced turkey and bananas.
And fruit and healthy food.
Yeah.
Well, think about Scott, man. You're never going to go to his office. There wasn't a big jar of peanut M&Ms right there.
And what was it? Skittles. A lot of Skittles yeah. around, too.
Scott loved candy.
Yeah, me
we
too.
We loved hanging around with Scott because of the candy in his office. But Oz not going to provide us with candy all year?
Well, not this morning. Now, maybe once the word gets out, maybe he will.
I'll send him an email as soon as this is over. All right, so you're very confident. You're more confident about this baseball team than I've seen you in years.
And Chandler Best, you'll get to hear later on. You know, I asked Chandler Best about it, and I said, "Look, am I seeing this with my heart rather than my eyes?" And he said, "Well, perhaps you are, but your eyes are pretty good." Because he said, "I agree," and he'll explain a little bit later.
All right, basketball men on the road last night. You know, we talked to Coach Ladder day before yesterday, and they were traveling by bus, and I've been to Arkansas State. It's no easy trip to get there. It's several hours. He talked the other day about the team was pretty fatigued from the previous week of travel. I thought last night sort of showed that. I mean, I thought they played really well. They struggled from the floor. A lot of their jump shots in the second half were coming up short. I've always been told that's a sign of leg fatigue, but everything was short, Kelly. Short. I think they I think they do look a little fatigued at the moment.
Well, they lost 78-71, third game of a four-game road trip that will conclude this Saturday down at San Marcos when they play the Bobcats for the first time this year. But on the good side, Bob, when you break these numbers down, once again, four Golden Eagles in double figures. And, I mean, you talk about evenly spread. Donovan Ivory, you know, was 17. Austin Crowley was 17. Victor Iwako was 17. And then your boy Mo Arnold, you know, chipped in 14. So there's four different guys pretty much in the same point range, right? That's a good sign. They only turned it over four times.
All night.
And on average, it's going to be about 11 or 12, you know, but four? I mean, that's only happened one other time in the Jay Ladner era. But the one thing that jumps out to you on the negative side, and you just talked about it, was shooting percentage.
Not good.
35% for the Eagles. If you're in the, you know, if you're in the 44 to 48% range, you got a shot. You're doing pretty well. And it wouldn't have been so bad had Arkansas State.
They were like 50%.
They were, yeah, 50%. So, I mean, in the second half. So, and the Eagles led at half, but because Arkansas State shot so well in the second half, that was the difference, you know, in the ball game. And so that's a split now on the year for those two teams.
So they play Texas State. If they could win that game, they would have split this road trip, right? 2-2.
Right. Which is about what you can expect.
Coach Ladner told me the other day that the formula for everyone is to win your home games, split your road games, find one road trip that you can get both games. They still have the ability to do that, and I'm not as concerned about the loss as you find this hard to believe, but there are people on the internet just they're panicking. It's the end of the world, and the season's completely done.
The end of the world as we know it. Yeah,
I'm not that concerned because they're coming home, and they've never lost a conference game at home. And Kelly, gosh, I hate to say it. I don't want to say that it doesn't matter. Every game matters, and for these kids, I'm sure that every time they play, it matters, and it matters to us for them to do well. You want to get in that top four and take your shot in the tournament. And that's got to be the strategy of every Sun Belt coach.
And you remember in the preseason polls, both with the media and the coaches, Southern Miss was picked fourth. Okay, so, and I think when it all shakes out, you know, unless App State and JMU just have a complete, you know, letdown, they're probably going to be 1-2 in any one particular order. They still have two games with Louisiana coming up. All right, and Louisiana's right in there with them. But other than that, six out of these last eight are at home, including the MAC Challenge with Western Michigan coming to town.
What's their nickname?
They are the Broncos.
Broncos, you're right.
Is that right? I think they're the Broncos.
For those of you that don't know Kelly Sander, let me tell you, I've known him a long time. This man has more useless information in his brain than any 10 people I've ever met.
Useless being the key word there. But not only do they have six out of the last eight at home, Bob, they're against teams that are in the lower third in the standings because you got one more game with Monroe, you know, that's going to be here. You got South Al. You got Louisiana's really the only team that's in that upper half. And they haven't played Louisiana either time. So,
right. And
I think the last game of the season is actually against the Cajuns. Right. And all this is going to matter as far as you just mentioned, seeding in the postseason tournament. Because as Luke Johnson, and Luke will be hopefully rejoining us next week, but when Luke was talking about the changes in the NIT selection.
Who's that?
Luke, you remember Luke Johnson. He's been in all the papers.
I vaguely remember.
Especially when he was punting back at Southern Miss in the day. But with the new ruling with the way that the NIT is going to select their teams, really about the only shot you have, obviously, of going to the NCAA tournament is to win the Sun Belt. But then the only other choice will be like the CBI or
we don't care about that.
Something like that.
Meanwhile, the women play tonight, and they're hosting Louisiana Lafayette. So I'm sure it'll be a very friendly. Lots of sportsmanship, no rough play.
It's too bad this isn't television so people could see the sarcastic look on your face. Although you and Miss Angela are going to take this one in tonight.
We're checking it out tonight. Yeah. Anytime the Cajuns are in town, no matter what sport, you know it's going to be brutal.
Beer sales go up, that's for sure.
And you know it's just going to be like a fist fight. And I don't think any of these girls are going to back off each other tonight, do you?
No, we're talking about Dom Davis is almost too aggressive for her own good, right?
I'm sure Dom's nervous and intimidated about tonight.
I don't think so. Now, you remember, she's a Louisiana girl, right?
Oh, yeah.
So she knows exactly what she's in store for.
Yeah. That game is at 6 o'clock. Hope a nice crowd shows up. And we obviously cheer on the Lady Eagles and Joy Lee McNellis. And the men will be back in action Saturday. The women will be home Saturday, I think, as well. So a lot of basketball still to go. A lot of basketball left to play, Kelly.
That men's game Saturday down in San Marcos is a weird, like a 4:15 start or something like that, our time. And it will be on ESPN Plus. Again, the Bobcats have to come back here, I believe, just 1 week later. So kind of some funky scheduling this year by the Sun Belt.
And I heard them talking last night on the broadcast that how tough the road trip had been on Arkansas State. You know, how exhausted their players were and how happy they were to be back home. And they showed it last night. I mean, they were enthusiastic being on their home floor, and, it was a good game.
And I remember when the basketball schedule came out, Bob, we made a note on this program when we saw the lack of home games that the Eagles would have in the month of January.
It's ridiculous.
And then when you look at February, and it's like every game is at home.
Crazy. Yeah,
you know,
it's
which
crazy.
I'm glad for the students, you know, because the students are always a big, you know, a big help to the players because they're loud and raucous and they have a good time. But, man, February, get ready for some basketball at Reed Green.
Yep. All right, Chandler Best still to come in the show. Next, though, Daniel Ward from the National Center of Spectator Sports Security and Safety. That's a Southern Miss-based organization. It's going to be really interesting, we think, what you're going to hear about the need for advanced security now at the high school level.
Oh, boy.
We'll be back.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
This segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by our friends at
Campus Bookmark.
Yeah, that's right.
Kathleen.
Open 24/7 at campusbookmark.net, the big building right across from the main entrance to Southern Miss. And that's a place where you've got Baseberg shirts. You've got all kinds of things that you can wear over there, and they've got your website. They've got your size, actually, for whatever type of...
They have your website, too.
Yeah, they do. For any type of shirt that you might want to you know, invest in, get yourself in the mood for a Southern Miss sporting event. Now, in this segment, we want to talk a little bit about the great facility over at Southern Miss, which is called the NCS4. That's the National Center for Spectator Sports. Is it safety and security, Dan, or
it's safety and security.
It is safety and security. And Dan, help me with your last name.
Ward.
Thank you.
W-A-R-D.
Thank you. Yeah, Daniel Ward is with us now from the NCS4. They are getting ready to conduct a symposium up at Notre Dame. Yes, the Notre Dame up in Indiana on February 20th and 21st. Talking about pro sports and entertainment, how to help secure those facilities. And they just got back from a symposium in Katy, Texas. And there in Katy, they were talking about increased security at the high school level. And Daniel Ward, I have to say that I'm a little bit disappointed that we even have to talk about security and safety at high school sporting events. But the occurrences of fans not behaving themselves at high school events is on the rise.
That's what a lot of schools have been reporting. So we wanted to discuss that these forums are really a good time for us to come together and talk about what's working, what's not working, and how we can improve at the various levels of sports and entertainment.
All right, so at the high school level, I mean, I would think the obvious things are metal detectors, things of that nature. Was there any general rule of thumb or general discussion that came up that was pretty consistent with everybody there?
Not really. We had such a good mix of schools from different states and communities. The security measures they have in place really ranged. It was different across the board. In some schools, there were metal detectors. There was more sophisticated technologies being deployed at your ingress and egress areas. In others, it was a little less technology-driven and more people-driven. So we had a good mix of different schools and different measures that they're employing. So we really came together to talk about those things and talk about general best practices that could be applied regardless of school size or facility.
Now, I get technology-driven, but what do we mean by people-driven?
How we're using people, where we're deploying people, how we're training our school staff and security practitioners that are coming onto our campuses. So how we're using people to mitigate potential security and safety issues.
Now, part of the things that NCS4 does is take care of, at least try to advise people on protocols for pro sports and entertainment, which concerts draw big crowds, of course, big pro sporting events. And I want to ask, I think what might be an obvious question, Dana, but you can fill in some blanks for us. The incidences of misbehavior tied to alcohol abuse. I would think that would be obvious. Is it?
Yes, there's definitely alcohol related issues, and what you see in various sports, their fans' code of conduct and the training and the information they're putting out, a lot of it is alcohol related. They certainly train their staff in how to deal with alcohol related issues. So certainly that's toward the top of the list when we start looking at behavioral problems at facilities and venues that serve alcohol.
I'm sure one of the things that you recommend is, well, simply don't serve alcohol. But when it comes back to chasing the almighty dollar, it's just too big of a revenue source. Yes,
it is a major revenue source, and it's a challenge to it's a challenge to make just a blanket recommendation across the board, because we understand each venue and facility set up a little different. There are universities that do allow alcohol, universities that don't. At the professional sports and entertainment level, most of your facilities are going to offer alcoholic beverages. It really comes down to if we are offering them, making sure that we're managing alcohol sales and we're managing certainly alcohol-related issues responsibly and effectively.
All right, so technology seems to be changing all the time, Daniel. How are the eyes in the sky doing? Or update us on some technologies that might be in the works that will help us be safer at sporting events and thwart the bad guys, so to speak.
Yeah, technology is, to an extent, technology, it's evolving rapidly, and to an extent, technology is outrunning policy. So for us, it's keeping up with technologies that are out there. So for us, a lot of what we focus on is making sure that we're looking at technology and we're deploying it effectively. We understand the do's and don'ts, and we know what we're capable of doing, and we understand the benefits out of those technologies. But you have seen an uptick in ticketing solutions. So now it's very rare that you go to an event anymore and you have a hard copy ticket stub. In most cases, you have a QR code or you have a ticket on your phone. In some venues and facilities across the country, you'll see facial authentication at gates. You'll see more sophisticated screening solutions that are being deployed. There's more cameras. There's more analytics in terms of how those cameras are being operated and managed and the information we're able to glean from those solutions. So we've grown tremendously with technology. It's understanding how all that technology works together and making sure we have kind of an integrated response or integrated we're looking at integrated solutions, and we're bringing those technologies in the right way.
And all that research takes place at the University of Southern Mississippi. Daniel Ward, where's the fine line between the eyes in the sky, technology, and privacy?
Ooh, that's a tough question, and I don't know that I have all the answers for you there, but I do know that one of the things that venues we work with are constantly talking about is how we can protect personal data, how we can protect privacy information, and making sure that we're managing that data responsibly. I know cybersecurity is always a challenge. The data that we're taking in, we want to make sure that's protected. And it looks different in how data is being protected and how information is being protected across the country. Now, when it comes to just being overly invasive with technology, that's another thing that each venue has to consider individually. They have to look at kind of what the climate is, where they're at, and they have to look at what's going to be appropriate and how it's going to be received by their community inside their venues and by their stakeholders.
So, Daniel, the last time I was at an NFL game was in person a couple of years ago. I went to Washington and was at a Redskin Philadelphia Eagle game. I
thought you went to a pro game, Bob.
I say that term loosely, professionally. I was shocked at the violence that I saw outside of the stadium after the game. I bet I saw four or five open fist fights on my way back to where we were heading. And, you know, any week you can look on the internet, you'll see these violent videos at NFL games. Is the violence and the unruly behavior worse than ever, or is it just more accessible to our viewing of it now because of technology?
A little bit of both, Bob. I think that what we're hearing from venues and what was reported in one of our surveys, we do industry surveys each year. So what we've been looking at, we have seen an uptick, but it isn't as dramatic as one would think. The information is more available, to your point. Technology allows us to see those things, mm-hmm. and it allows people to share their stories much more broadly than they could 10, 15 right. years ago. So right. we're much more aware of behavioral-related issues that are taking place at sports and entertainment, and we are receiving reports that it is on the rise. It's something that we're looking at, but again, if you're just watching the news or social media, a lot of times, I mean, you see those things. It's more prevalent right. through those channels
easier
than
to
it
say.
Was a handful of years ago.
Why do you think it is on the rise, Daniel?
There's a variety of reasons, and that's some of the things that we're investigating. So I wish I had all the answers to that one, Bob, but it's something that we are looking at. We're preparing for another industry report this year, and those are the questions that we're going to be asking security directors from venues across the country. So we hope to have more information to really understand behavioral issues and if and why those behavioral issues are on the rise towards the end of the year.
And Daniel, I'm not as worried necessarily about the people that I'm sitting around, you know, but it's the bad guys. And I don't lose any sleep over it, all right? I mean, I know there's inherent risk in anything that you do, but I go to the Indianapolis 500 every year where there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and I worry about the bad guys. Is that a legitimate concern, or are we on top of it?
The bad guys. Can you be more specific for me there?
Foreign entities that would like to do extensive damage in a small period of time to American citizenry.
Yeah, I think for us, we always err on the side of caution. But ultimately, our venues are doing a great job in having layered security measures to protect those spectators. You have different layers. There's so many activities that take place around a sporting event. You have tailgating areas. You have parades. You have nearby restaurants and bars and different things that are taking place around each one of these venues. So certainly it takes a layered approach. And the venues that we work with, I would say they're working really hard with their community partners and with the venue itself to make sure they're deploying solutions that are looking at those various layers of security.
All right.
So in terms of our security professionals, we've got a great group of people that come together. I would say you're in good hands, and they're working hard to make sure you're safe when you're inside those facilities.
All right, Daniel, thank you so much. The NC4S, they're going to be headed to Notre Dame up in South Bend, Indiana, February 20th and 21st for a symposium on pro sports and entertainment venues, keeping us safe. Daniel Ward, thanks again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Chandler Best on the Super Talk Eagle Hour as we continue our broadcast from the Southern Bancorp Studio right here at Oak Grove. Hang on.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank Daniel Ward from the National Center for Spectator Sport Security and Safety right here on the Southern Miss campus. Appreciate that. I want to thank our good friends Dickie's Barbecue for all they do for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Great place to take your family for dinner tonight. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studio, and we're always happy to promote that, as well as 4th Street Bar and Grill. They sponsored this segment of the show, and we certainly like those guys right there in the shadow of the rock. Great food, great drink, great camaraderie. Cold Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, Kelly. That's what I like the most.
Bob, people have said that you always mention Pabst Blue Ribbon. I say they do have other brands.
I know they do, but I got to get away from a PBR.
No, I know you like PBR for sure.
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest vehicles on the road today, and coming soon, the all-new Genesis Showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Should point out, too, that that's owned by Matt Grubbs, who's a massive supporter of Southern Miss Athletics, Kelly. He does a lot for the athletic program.
Massive, not meaning that he's a big guy like me. But
no, just that he's a big donor.
Yes,
and,
there you
and
go.
A big supporter. And I want to remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. If you don't get enough of Kelly at 1 o'clock every day, you can find him whenever you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn. Or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still no luck there, right, though, with Alexa.
Yeah, don't tell Alexa that you want to hear me on there, because that won't work. Yeah, but there is plenty of me to go around, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Kelly was at baseball this morning, got some great interviews, and one of the kids he talked to is Chandler Best, who's a lefty pitcher, was out last year, had Tommy John surgery over the season. Kelly, real quickly, because we want to get to the interview, they're really counting on Chandler Best, aren't they?
And he wouldn't have it any other way.
Here's Kelly and Chandler Best.
Chandler Best with us here on the Eagle Hour, the flame-throwing lefty, ready to get back in the saddle this year after Tommy John surgery. And the first thing I got to talk about mentally, Chandler, is the, you know, you've had the surgery, you've rehabbed, you've done everything you're supposed to do. Are you ever worried that, hey, maybe I threw something doesn't feel just right? How do you deal with the mental part of recovery?
Yeah, it's probably more mental than physical at the end of the day. I went through a lot of rehab, and I kind of got to tell myself that all the hard work and rehab that I did for the course of 12, 13 months until I was cleared, that it's kind of all built up my arm, and kind of try to think of it. It's like bulletproof now. Like I try to I definitely early on in the throwing, I'd get a little more sore than usual, and I might overthink it a little bit, but now that I'm almost 15 months out, it feels pretty normal, and I feel as confident as ever that I'm healthy and ready to go.
When you were talking with Dr. Dugas, who did the surgery and so on, and in your subsequent rehab, have you had to change your style of pitching? Have you had to change anything about the way you approach this craft? And it is a craft.
No, I don't think I had to. I don't think there was anything specific I was doing that led to my injury. It was more of just kind of an overuse thing of all my years of playing baseball. But I do think that I did make a couple little changes, not because I had to, but because I thought it might make me a little more effective when I came back healthy. So,
is part of that maturity, though, too, where you're kind of thinking, hey, if I don't have to, why?
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of a eye-opening experience sitting on the side for a year watching all my brothers, my best friends, go to a regional, super regional, and I was there with them, and I like to say I was a big part of it, just having energy in the dugout and everything, but part of me just always wishes I could have been out there with them for sure. So I got to spend every day reflecting on my past seasons or what I could do to be better in the future. So from that, I kind of just sat down with Coach Bradford or Coach Oz, and we talked over little things that could be changed, and I kind of just hammered them into my routine during rehab, and they just over the course of time changed a little bit. So
yeah, I think just because you're a young man and all your teammates are generally the same age, one of the things that you don't have the life experience to where sometimes you don't learn to appreciate things. Now you're back out there. You're ready to go. Man, I'll bet you are appreciative.
Yeah, for sure. I tell everyone that the main thing I took away from being out this past year was my appreciation for the game, because up until last year, I've been lucky enough to never been injured, and I kind of took it for granted. So having that year off, like I said, seeing everyone go out there and play, have fun while I was maybe not going on road trips, staying here, doing rehab, it was definitely eye-opening, and it kind of just made me realize how much I love the game and how much fun it is. Like even when I was just throwing my first bullpen at like 60 miles an hour, first time, I was like having the most fun ever. So it's kind of made me enjoy the game a little more now, for sure.
When people ask me, as a co-host of the Eagle Hour, you know, how's the baseball team going to be, the first thing I say, and this is no secret, I said, I think on paper this pitching staff is as deep and as talented as it's ever been since I've been covering this team. How do you see it as a member of said staff?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think we're a really deep and talented staff, and I've been a part of a lot of good staffs here. A lot of professional pitchers come and go here, and I think we're just as deep as any staff. There's a lot of guys that A lot of fans might not know who they are now, but they definitely will 1 or 2 weeks into the season, and they're going to really like what they see.
And I think one of the things, one other element to this team that people might not know about is you guys got some clubbers on this team that maybe, you know, you used to have to, pitching had to win it, but I think there's a better balance on paper. Again, you got to prove it during the season, but I think on paper there's a better balance of offense and defense. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I for sure think so. I think there's there's definitely guys, everyone's kind of skeptical, having a lot of new players, a lot of new positions, filling Dustin's role, Danny's role, Sargent, Matthew Etzel, all these big players we had last year, but kind of like how you said earlier, where we have guys sitting out for a year that are ready to go, and even transfers from junior college or freshmen this year, or redshirt freshmen that I think are going to do a fantastic job stepping up and filling their roles.
Now, you're studying business, but any truth to the rumor that you could potentially be a future co-host of the Eagle Hour?
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping my options open. We'll have to talk about that after the interview, and maybe they'll be seeing me a little.
I'm about 90 years old, so it's just a matter of time, you know, if you hang in there. When it's all said and done this year, you know, obviously you want to win the College World Series. But that aside, when will it have been a success this season for you individually and for this team?
Yeah, I think my first – I like to set little goals. My first considered success would be just me getting back out on the field again and kind of soaking in that moment of being back out there and being healthy. But obviously, I don't have any real specific goals as far as statistics or anything. I just want to go out there and – have fun and play a lot of innings and get a lot of wins with my friends. And obviously our goal is to go to Omaha and win the College World Series. So that would be considered a success for me.
And my final question, kind of an obscure question. Have you ever taken any abuse because of your last name being Best?
Yeah.
You know, get ribbed as a kid when maybe you weren't Best or whatever?
Yeah, all the guys that aren't very smart can't make up fun jokes. Just call me Chandler Worse. So it's not nothing against them. They're just not very smart. They had to do that. So
yeah, nothing against them, but they're not very smart.
Yeah, yeah. No, very cheesy.
Chandler, we wish you nothing but the best. I'm sure we'll be glad to see you back in uniform this year.
Sir, thank you.
Chandler Best, everybody. I'm just going to tell you right now, I've seen Chandler Best. He is far too handsome. He's never going to be a co-host on this show. Never. Never going to happen.
And would you? And would anybody ever dare call him Chandler Worst?
No.
You talk about wanting one right in the ear hole, buddy.
Yeah. You know, he says something to you, Kelly, that I observe covering the team as well. He said, my brothers and my best friends.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
And, buddy, that just jumps out at you when you're around the Southern Miss baseball program.
Yeah, and I think it should be noted, too, to all Little League parents out there. Did you notice he said, I don't have any specific individual goals. I just want to win teams with my buddies.
Yeah.
Quit worrying about where your kid bats or what position your kid plays in. Let him go out there and have fun with his friends. You know,
Kelly, how big a problem is it overusing kids when they're young? I had a close friend of my wife's was telling me, she was telling me what they had relayed just the other night. Her grandson's apparently a pretty good little baseball player. He's like 12 or 13. She's concerned about how tired he was at the end of the season and how overused she seemed to think he was.
Dr. James Andrews, who's noted, you know, he's handled a lot of NFL athletes, including Brett Favre, and it was that his facility in Birmingham that actually did Chandler Best's surgery. Dr. James Andrews will ask pitchers in particular, who's your favorite pitcher? Regardless of what they answer, Dr. Andrews will say, well, that pitcher doesn't pitch all year round. Neither should you. So I encourage parents, there's a baseball season. That's the spring, right? That's when they play there. And look, 30 games is enough. You know, they'll get their time, you know, later on. But if you burn them out too early and physically, there's wear and tear on the body. You know, you're taking a big risk. Let them play football. Let them play basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, do these other
sorts of
things.
And don't the coaches bear responsibility for that, too, that are coaching these young kids?
They should. They should.
Yeah. But you think it's a problem.
I think it can be. And it's up to the parents, ultimately, to shut them down.
Right. All right, Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street, invites you down for the best dessert in Hattiesburg. Beignets made to order. Hot coffees, cold coffees, sauces, good stuff, Kelly Santer.
100% agreed on that, Bob.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
DBAT sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour. It's a great place for softball and baseball training. State-of-the-art facility right there on Hardy Street. Luke Reynolds is the manager. I've said that a number of times lately. We're going to have Luke on the show hopefully next week, and we'll talk a little more about DBAT and, of course, his great career at Southern Miss. And Kelly, good interviews today. You do such a good job on interviews. And I know you got Billy Odom and couple other players. Billy still got the long flowing locks.
I was just going to let me tell you, buddy. He's in rare form. Them locks. It's like Samson, man.
Is that right?
He said, as long as that hair is going to stay up there, uh-huh. I ain't cutting it.
What is with the college baseball pitchers and the long hair?
Well, I don't know. It's what the college kids call a sick flow, Bob. They got a flow of hair back there, you know. So, hey, if it's a confidence builder for him, Billy Odom last year, when you looked at his statistics, do you know he averaged more than one strikeout per inning?
He was really good.
I mean, he had 89 strikeouts in 77 innings.
He was really, really
good.
That's
pretty doggone good.
And yeah. I don't want to bring up bad memories, but you may recall that in the Super Regional, Billy was wheeling and dealing, and the game got stopped because it lightninged a couple of times south of Purvis, and and so then they had to burn up their closer.
Right.
And I think that was probably a bigger turn in the tournament than we realized at the time. But Odom is a great guy to have coming back. I think he's a solid weekend starter.
And I was picking on him being a native of the state of Connecticut, and right. You know they were on the bad side of the War of Northern Aggression.
Right, right, right. You remind him of that?
And I said, look, there's no such thing as a poor person in Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
I mean, everybody's rich
right,
in Connecticut.
Right.
You have to be. So I was kind of picking on him about that. And it's so funny to me how not just Billy, but a lot of people who are affluent are embarrassed to admit
mm-hmm.
they're affluent, mm-hmm. you know? Say, man, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with being rich.
Yeah, no,
it's better
than being poor.
You got that right. So he finally said, well, you know, we do okay. You
yeah.
know, we after all, we do live 45 minutes from the financial district of New York City, yeah. you know.
He's just fit right in like a glove here, hadn't he?
And he said that. He said, you know, he really didn't know what to expect, you know. Also got to talk to Lawson Odom, who's a freshman out of West Jones High School, and Lawson is a guy who comes from a winning program in high school, and one of the things that stuck out with me is he said, winning is winning, whether it's at high school or college. He said, the same attitude you bring with you as a high school player, you know, if you don't think you're the big dog, who else is going to think you're the big dog? You know, so he seems to have fit right in there. And, of course, Nick Monastir, I mean.
Stud.
Oh, this guy.
Dog.
I mean, he came in high styling and profiling, you know, for the interviews today. So
yeah, he's a dog.
He's ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. We're so excited about having baseball back. And I believe the guys, I'll say this. Until someone in the Sun Belt shows me they can beat us in a tournament, Southern Miss is the team to beat.
Well, Coastal's getting all the love. So, and
we'll see.
Yeah.
They're going to get a lot of love when they come down here. Sure.
Oh, yeah. We'll tell them they're number one, except we'll do it a little bit different way.
We'll ask them about their mothers, and we'll just, our fans will just make them feel toasty warm.
Oh, yeah. Well, won't they ever? couldn't wait to get out of here, I'm sure, when that happens. But they open against Marist, of course, and we're going to have a two-hour special edition
yes.
of the Eagle Hour on opening day.
Going to be fun. Get to working on that really soon. Excited about baseball. We're excited about basketball, too.
Sure.
And we think there's a lot of basketball left to play. I have still remained very confident, particularly with the men's team, with the with the, I'm confident of the women, but I'm talking about where they sit in the standings right now. I'm still very confident that they're going to finish in that top four.
And remember, six out of the last eight are at the greenhouse. So I don't think, you know, certainly nothing wrong with that. It's all about seeding for the tournament. So
hey, another thing people have to remember, and to their credit, the announcers from Arkansas State pointed that out last night. Right now, the team's pretty injury riddled, and you know he's just got two guards you were counting on very badly are not playing. Victor Hart still not playing. Big score. When Owaku got in foul trouble last night, gosh, there was really, you know, you could see the lack of depth for the moment.
And you got Nefta coming back next year, and he's already said that he's coming back. You know, next
and
year.
And I think he's the best of the two guards that's not playing.
He just has to stay healthy. That's been the problem with Alvarez, is you just can't keep him healthy.
Yes.
So, but next week on the show,
would you disagree terribly with that he is the better of the two guards that are not playing right now?
Overall, yes.
I think.
Yes. So. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking with the new offensive and defensive coordinator for the football team, which we have not had a chance to ask them yet as the Eagles get ready for spring drills coming up. We're also going to have Coach Eddie Brescher on the program with some of his golfers. Of course, the new golf facilities scheduled to open up this summer. So we're going to get an update on that as well. So everything Southern Miss sports related, the softball team getting ready for their opener as well. We're going to have it all for you, Bob, you and I, next week.
There we go. Jack Duggan, the old left-hander, on the show with me tomorrow. Billy Odom as well will be on the Eagle Hour. Well, did you ask him about those flowing locks?
Of course I did.
I figured you did. Yeah. And he gave you a good answer, I'm sure.
He did.
He wasn't shy about responding.
I think, no, he's pretty impressed with that hair. I told him, you should be, man. For somebody whose hair wants to fall out. You know?
Billy and I, we shouldn't even get paid for what we do. This is too much fun.
We have a great time. Kids. We sure do.
But we still want to get paid. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.